When's the last time you really prayed? All right, we're done. Right? Really, that's all I really need to say. Because prayer is such a vital element of our faith, and it's something that is often overlooked in our connection with God on a deep level. Last week I gave a definition. Prayer is communication with God. And it goes just like a regular relationship. We can talk, and we need to listen. But often with prayer, we think prayer is just talking. But it's not. It's so much more than just talking. It's listening and meditating on the Word and just trying to discover what God has for us in our life. And it's this deep connection that we can have with God. So why didn't God answer my prayer? Have you ever come to that place in your life when God, why didn't you answer my prayer? And you prayed a certain prayer in a certain way, and you thought that God should show up in the way in which you thought he should show up. Has that ever happened to you? Well, it happens to us quite frequently, and there's a lot of different reasons why that happens, but I'm going to share a few things today and what matters to God when we pray. So what matters to God when we pray? And there's this first thing that matters to God when we pray. And the first thing is your relationships matter. Have you ever thought about that in regard to prayer? That your relationships matter? Our relationships matter? The relationships that we have effect on our prayer life? There's a passage in Mark 11, 24 through 25, and it says this. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. Have you ever come to a place in your life where you have not been able to forgive somebody, and it hindered not only your prayer life, it hindered all aspects of your life? I know that's happened a few times in my life where, because of unforgiveness issues, it hindered my spiritual development and growth. And sometimes when people sin against us, it takes a little time to truly be able to forgive. Would you agree with that? You can't just instantly, I forgive them, and then move on. Because real forgiveness comes from the heart, right? It's not a brain thing. It's something that we can, it comes from our heart, that meaning that it's this sincere desire to release whatever it is. And forgiveness is a healthy thing for our body, mind, and soul. The well-being of us. There's a reason why Jesus talks about forgiveness and says, don't forgive just seven times. Forgive seven times 70. So forgive over and over and over again. And it doesn't mean that we should be in abusive relationships and continue to forgive whatever abuse is being bestowed upon us. But it does mean we are to learn forgiveness. And when we learn forgiveness, what ends up happening is it's this cleansing. There's this cleansing that takes place, and there's this ability and opportunity to grow in faith like we've never been able to before. Because when we come to a place of forgiveness, what ends up happening is it's healing to us as people, but it also has potential to heal somebody else. Some of us have been through some horrific things in our lives where people have inflicted sinful actions upon us. But when we come to that place of forgiveness, it matters. It makes a difference. And our relationships matter. That's why when we pray, Jesus, you know, speaks of this when it says, whatever you ask for in prayer. All right, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. It's absolutely critical for us to discover this intimate relationship with God. And forgiveness leads to deeper relationships with people. And sometimes when you say to somebody, you know what, I forgive you for what you did whenever, whatever they did, they may go, I never did anything to you. What do you mean? I never hurt you. So why are you asking for my forgiveness? I know that's happened to me. Has that happened to you? But it's not necessarily just for them. It's really for us. And it helps heal and cleanse us. And it also humbles us because we have to go to somebody and talk to them. And it's hard. It can be really, really hard. Husbands, in the same way, this comes from 1 Peter 3:7. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect. And this is a tough one. And it says, as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayer. Now, that's not talking about that weaker in the sense that they're weaker in intellect or whatever it may be. What that's talking about is the husband is supposed to be the head, the leader of the household. So as the leader should lead, right? And some people may say, well, you know, the captain of the ship needs to, that's not really, you know. If we say that, then some ladies will start throwing things at me. But the scriptures are pretty clear that the husband is supposed to lead and be an example to the family. So is the wife, right? They're partners. Two become one flesh. But there was some disrespect going on when this passage was written. And it's being written to the church. In 1 Peter, when he's talking about this, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives. Because wives were being disrespected. The Bible, whether you know this or not or believe this or not, it was a revolutionary work because women were held a lot higher than the society norm. A lot higher. And if you were to write a book from that generation and you were to get the respect of the generation that you were writing to, you definitely wouldn't have a couple women coming when you rose from the grave and being the first ones to discover that you had risen. That in and of itself, the most important thing that happens in our faith, the resurrection, like the death, some people could say the death, but the resurrection. And did you know this? At the foot of the cross when Jesus was crucified, there were all women and one guy. Only one guy was there. What are we doing, fellas? You have these faithful women that are standing at the foot of the cross. You have women discovering Jesus when he rose from the grave. The Bible is revolutionary. There's this women's lib movement that said, oh, you can't believe in the Bible because it holds the woman down. It doesn't. It liberated the women in so many different ways. Heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. There's this respect thing that is often overlooked. The passage in Ephesians that talks about husbands, love your wives, and wives, respect your husbands. Love and respect. If we followed those simple principles in our marital relationship, what would happen? The second thing is, your motives matter. So our motives matter when we pray. How are we being motivated as we pray? Is our motivation selfishness? Is it just being motivated by greed or whatever it may be? What is our motive to this prayer, our prayer life? When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. That comes from James chapter 4. So when you ask, you don't receive because your motives are all screwed up, right? Our motives aren't where they're supposed to be. Our motives come from whatever it may be within us that is hindering us from moving progressively forward in the faith. And when we, here we go. So when we move forward in the faith, what we discover is our motives shift. And when our motives shift, then we begin to become more in line with what Jesus has for us. I wonder why so frequently we pray with wrong motives. And we expect God to answer whatever the request is. And our motivation is not from our heart. It's not from whatever it may be that is good and beneficial and beautiful and lovely. But it comes from whatever it is deep within that we desire. And it doesn't align with what God desires. And sometimes we say, well, this is good. Why wouldn't it align with what God desires? It may not be time for us in our lives for whatever that may be. And there's this process of refining that's taking place in all of our lives if we're allowing God to do it. And it may be difficult and challenging. And it may be something that we don't want to continue to endure. But God is saying, hey, I know it's hard. I know it's difficult. I know it's challenging. But when you discover what's actually in store for your life, your motives will shift. In Proverbs 16:2, all a man's ways seem innocent to him, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Motives are weighed by the Lord. All a man's ways seem innocent to him, but motives are weighed by the Lord. What is our motive? When we go into our prayer closet, what is our motivation? Where is it coming from? The third thing is, the way you live matters. The way you live matters. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. James 5:16. So the prayer of a righteous person, someone that is right with God, someone that's in tune with God, someone that is right with God, it is powerful and effective. It's not just, I prayed, I did my prayer today. No. You know what? If you are right with God, and you may say, I'm not right with God. I sin. I do this. I do that. If you have this place in your heart where you come to a place of repentance and you say, God, I have sinned. I need to turn to you. Lord, I ask for forgiveness and cleansing today. Then you're right with God. If you change your lifestyle, whatever it may be, when you know you're living contrary to what God would have for you, and you turn from that, you repent. That word repentance is something that our society does not talk about much. Instead of repentance, we've thrown in, oh, just learn from it. I learned from my past experience. You know what? I wouldn't change a thing in my life if I had it to do over. You may have been the one saying that, right? I would change so many different things. But at the same time, would we? Like, we probably would change some decisions we made, but we are who we are because of some of the stuff we've experienced. We can't change what we've experienced in our life, but what we can do is we can change the direction we're going in our life. Is my life moving forward in Christ, or is my life moving backward in my own selfish ambition and whatever it may be? And I remember being at a gym one time, and I was talking to an individual at the gym, and we were talking about sin and stuff, and he said, I went through the list of the sinful natures, obvious, man, and I shared, so he's like, selfish ambition? What do you mean? We need to be ambitious. That's not selfish. We should work for ourselves and be ambitious. I said, you're absolutely right. We should be ambitious people, but it's a matter of motives. It's a matter of why I'm being ambitious and what the point and purpose of it is. So we should be ambitious, but what's the drive behind the ambition? And a lot of psychologists would say that a lot of the times people that have huge drive would be people that are trying to show their parents or a loved one that they're better than the loved one thinks they are, right? There's all sorts of things we can talk about from a psychological perspective, but at the same time, we are to be motivated in Christ. Do you understand the difference? We should be driven in the power of the Spirit to do great things. And whether you're in a corporate setting, a ministry setting, or whether you're retired and you're in a family setting, we should be motivated to be people that are changing and transforming and doing things more powerful and potent in our lives to have kingdom impact. And if you're a plumber, plumb to the best of your ability. If you're a spa person, be the best spa person you can be. If you manage a spa, if you have overseas properties, manage the properties the best you possibly can. If you're a hula dancer, I don't know. I won't go there. But if you're a fisherman, fish. But we're all fishers of men and women. So we need to fish. We need to do everything to the best we can, the best ability that God has given us. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayers of the righteous. Proverbs 15:29. How many of you would classify yourself as wicked? Most people wouldn't say they're wicked. But if we've sinned once, we have wickedness in us. But what frees us is the cleansing power of Christ. That's where freedom comes in play. Comes right into play. The eradication of sin, the cleansing, the healing, all that stuff is because of Christ. So the way you live matters. The way we live. I think this is probably one of the things that is often overlooked, is the way we live. So the way in which we're living today, we don't really seek righteousness for some reason. If we were to forgive and discover this power and become right with God, it would make a tremendous difference in our day-to-day life. Because righteousness is this deep pursuit of God and this cleansing and this being right and on the path that leads to righteousness. And for some reason, we don't like to talk about righteousness because we have this excuse that, oh, I'm sinful, I've fallen short. Absolutely, right? But it doesn't mean we can't be right and pursue righteousness. Do you agree with that? The fourth thing is your faith matters. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. James 1:6-7. He must believe and not doubt. So our faith does matter when it comes to prayer. Do we actually believe what we're praying? Do we doubt? Do we pray and say, you know what? I'm going to pray, but my prayers don't really get answered. So I'll just pray and I'll just say, yeah, I've prayed. And oh, God didn't answer it. Oh, what's new? God never answers my prayers. Do you see the doubt coming into play there? There's this belief, this faith that we need to have in order for prayers to truly be answered. When we have our relationships are right, when our motives are right, when we're living a righteous life, and when we have deep faith, it has huge impact on our prayer. And then the fifth thing is, God's will matters. God's will matters. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. 1 John 5:14-15. So this is the confidence that we have when we are approaching God. That if we ask anything according to his will, you hear that? According to his will. Everybody heard that? According to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. If our prayers are in line with God's will, then they're going to be answered. Far too frequently, we may say, I don't know if my will is his will. I don't know what that even looks like. And how do I know if my will is aligning with God's will? Well, we have the Holy Scriptures, right? And if our lives are aligning with what God is communicating to us through the Word, and I would say that a majority of us sitting here, and this is going to sound harsh, but the majority of us sitting here don't know that much about the Word. I almost said, would you agree with that? But you know, I would say a lot of us in here, on a daily basis, don't open this up. And then we say, why is God not working in my life? Why is the Spirit not moving in my life? Why aren't I seeing transformation in my life? I don't know if God's ever even hearing me. I don't know why I even bother anymore. If your spiritual life is stagnant, there is almost always a good reason why. And it has a lot to do with this book not being read and our hearts not being transformed through prayer. Because if we're doing both of those things, not that we have to be this regimented, fundamental, hey, you got to do this. No, it's just, it's kind of simple. We need to get into devotion. And something that I forget, we have a lot of newer believers that are here in our community of faith. And something, for some reason, we forget when we get further along in the faith, that we forget that devotions are important. And we don't really know that others don't know what that means. If you don't do a devotional every day, meaning it can be a writing from an author that has a little snippet of scripture, I challenge you to get into a devotional at least a small page of reading a day that would challenge you in your faith every single day. It will reconfigure the way you think about God and the way your life moves forward. Something as simple as that. Because this book can be really monumental trying to get into it, right? Almost overwhelming. Start off with a devotional and just read that devotional. And as you read that devotional, it'll start opening your eyes up to deeper spiritual truths. So when we do that, God starts speaking deeply to us. And there's this other passage from Luke 22:42-43. Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. Do you know who prayed that? Jesus prayed that. And he's shouting out, he's sweating blood as he's shouting this out. Lord, if it's your will, take this cup from me, God. Because I don't know about this, God. Can you take this from me? Take it from me, please. But not my will, your will. Wow. Not my will, your will. What matters the most? What matters the most? You must have an honest relationship with God through Christ. You hear that? You must have an honest relationship with God through Christ. That's what matters the most. That matters tremendously. There was a blind man who got healed by Jesus, and he was so blown away by what had happened, and he starts getting questioned by the Pharisees and the different religious leaders of the time. And in John 9:31, this is one of the things that is said, and it aligns with the Old Testament, and he basically says that the no one's ever been healed that was born blind. And the belief system of the Jews at this time was that if you are born blind, then you are sinful, or your parents have sinned, or someone else has sinned before you that has led to you being born blind. So no one had been healed, and we don't see it in the Old Testament at all, but we see that this man is healed, and this is what it says. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly man who does his will. So this man that was freed from blindness shouts out this. Can you imagine? You've been blind your whole life, and all of a sudden you can see. Whoa. What would that do to you personally? Some of us claim to be followers of Jesus. And we talk about it maybe, but we're not fully clear in our mind and our heart on what the reality of being freed from blindness looks like. So maybe you've come here this morning, and maybe you've come for 50 years. I don't know. But there's a spiritual blindness that covers you. And you need to be freed so you can actually walk in holiness and godliness. Maybe there's something that's hindering you and you need that to be freed. Because our relationships matter. Our motives matter. Our faith matters. And God's will matters. It matters. I once was blind, but now I see, right? That great hymn that most of us in here would know, could probably sing it without looking at the words. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. I was once blind, but now I see. This was an actual, real life experience for this one individual. I was once blind, but now I see. And some of us can relate to being spiritually blind and being made to see. And it has huge significance and implications in our lives. So I wonder, as we sit here and stand here today, what is God communicating to us personally? Let's close in prayer. Lord God, some of us need a spiritual awakening today. Lord, you definitely desire us to discover you and for us to be made aware more of you and to wake up to the reality of who you are in us. God, all of us need a cleansing and a renewing of our spirit this morning. And God, I just ask, Lord, that your spirit will be poured out upon us, that our prayer life wouldn't be one of stagnant. It would not be stagnant like a old pond that's been sitting there and has bacteria and everything else, God. I ask, God, that our spiritual life, our prayer life would be vibrant like the flowing of a rapid river, Lord. God, may you flow in and through us. May your power flow through us. And may our lives be made new and enriched every day, God, because of the power that is in us, God. Lord, allow our prayer life to be so abundant and so profound that it completely transforms us, God. Lord, allow us to read the Word and open our eyes up to the Scriptures, Lord, and what they mean and the significance of them. God, may your Spirit move in us and cleanse us and heal us. Father, do it in the name of Jesus.